Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to talk again today about love, about God's love. We've been talking about it all week, and not only just the theological understanding of it, which we want to be able to do, but we want to get down to what God most wants for us is to live with an experiential knowledge of that love, to live with a knowledge of God's favor, his delight, be able to understand and come into an experience of his gazing upon us as his children and the joy that he feels in his heart when he looks at us. And he has that gaze toward everybody, every human being. Everything was made for love, by love. Every human being was made to know, love, and serve God. That's the height of what we're called to. There's nothing bigger, nothing greater. And God has done everything he could in his Son, giving us his Son, Jesus. All that Jesus did, all that he went through, we're going to look at it today kind of in more detail, just going through Bible passages and catechism passages and quotes from the saints, because I think it's really important, super important, you could say, for us who are baptized into Christ to gaze on this, to learn it, to ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to listen to God's word, because this word is living and active and it can change you, it can change your mind, change your heart. There's so much more capacity in us as the Holy Spirit, as we allow the Holy Spirit and hunger and thirst after the movement of the Spirit in our lives to manifest to us in the sense that I described it yesterday, a Bible passage from John's gospel where Jesus said that very thing, that he will manifest himself to us. He will make sure that through the grace of the Holy Spirit, we come to know the Father, as our Abba, and come to know not just the words, but to know the love, the healing power of the gaze and the identity and the security and the life that comes from receiving the Father's love. Was it Philip, one of the apostles, said, Jesus, show us the Father. He said it in the context of the Last Supper discourse in John, which is right before Jesus goes to Calvary. He's about that night. He's going to be going, you know, he's going to be arrested. And along there, maybe it was the day before or somewhere in there. But anyway, Philip's saying, Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus saying, wait a minute, Philip. I mean, what did I tell you? To see me is to see the Father. I came here and took on human flesh, and I've communicated to you the life of the kingdom, the love that I have with the Father, and how I live and who I am. I'm a total image of my Father. And to see me is to see the Father. I'm here because I want you to know the Father. I've come because I want you to know what I know. And what I know is my Father is the greatest. My Father's love is unspeakably awesome and like indescribably beautiful. Maybe it's a better way to say it. And there's a fullness, and it's from him that even I came forth, Jesus saying, and from us together, all that is, all of creation, and you made in the palm of his hand. You are God's idea. And that idea has been stolen from you. Under a darkened mind in a fallen world, in the battle between in the world, the flesh, and the devil, all of that, I've come to take it away. I'm the light that shines into that darkness, and the light is what I want to show you about my Father. He's not an angry Father stomping around in heaven. He's not frustrated with you. Like a friend of mine pitched this one time in a talk, and he said, ask yourselves the question, when you think about God the Father, what do you think he thinks about you? Is he mostly sad or is he mostly glad? Is he like a disappointed dad? Like, you know, I can't remember a good friend of mine's son played on a baseball team, a really, really good travel baseball team. And one of the players on the team was, you know, some of these guys were, you know, high-end college level, going to be college level players and, you know, Division I and had real shots, some of them maybe at, you know, for sure minor league baseball, but maybe even the majors. And there was one kid on the team who was just spectacularly gifted, and my friend used to tell me he's just a great kid, but his dad would regularly chew him out at games, and like he wasn't enough, he didn't do enough, and he'd do it right in a parking lot, right in front of other people, you know. And so this super gifted kid probably just was crushed in his spirit because, you know, he wanted to do something his dad was proud of. And for some reason, probably because his dad grew up with a dad who did the same thing, he couldn't get it out of his mouth to just say how proud he was of his son, or at least to even keep his mouth shut, to not say anything if he couldn't say anything that's positive. Because my friend said, you know, this guy'd go 3 for 4 and score a couple runs, make some great plays in the field, and somehow it wasn't enough. Sometimes we can relate to God that way, to think that's what God's like. Well, you know, you haven't done enough. You're just not good enough yet. You haven't risen to the place where you can be free to just swim in my love, to just receive it and believe it. You got more to earn. That is a lie. It's a deep demonic lie. God is love. The greatest thing is God's love. I remember one time years ago, I think I shared this on the radio. I was back in the 90s. My wife Debbie and I, we went out to Colorado with our kids on a vacation. And the kids were pretty young at the time. We're staying, I think, near Breckenridge in the mountains there. And I really wanted the vacation to be different than previous ones, because when you go, there's just a lot to do and kids are young and you're going from the moment they get up at 6:30 in the morning till they go to bed and you're kind of exhausted. And it's fun. You do a lot of fun stuff. And somehow my prayer time would kind of fall apart on vacation. Certainly remember God or occasionally get to Mass. I told Debbie, I said, on this vacation, honey, I want to make sure, even if I have to get up even earlier, 5:30, I want to get a deeper prayer in and have a vacation prayer where it's peaceful. I'm not thinking mainly about work and just want to draw close to God, and I'll cover the kids and you can do the same. And so I was doing that on the vacation. And then one morning, I don't know, like third or fourth day we were there, I woke up early in the morning. The sun was out early in the morning that time of year, and Debbie was sound asleep, and I'm laying there, opened my eyes, and I felt this presence, like a weight on my chest, like a weight that was powerful. And I noticed it right away when I woke up. And then I had this experience of seeing, and this is the only time it's ever happened in my life, where at the foot of the bed, I felt like, as I opened my eyes, that God the Father was at the foot of the bed, bending over, looking at me. And I don't, you know, just, it's something like I saw in the spirit. I don't know how to describe it. There wasn't a physical presence for sure there, that I know that. But I mean, it's something very vivid. And he had a smile on his face, and I'm just laying there, but I felt this weight, like I couldn't even move. I couldn't even sit up if I wanted to. But it wasn't an oppressive weight. It was a kind of a wonderful weight. And I'm laying there, and I just kind of said, Father, is there something you want to say? And honestly, this is what I felt like he said to me. And he's smiling, he's delighting. And he's smiling, he said, because as he's looking at me, he said, Peter, it's really good that you exist. It's really good that you exist. You're my idea. And I've never had a bad idea. Isn't that something? This simple thing. And honestly, I felt like a different kind of weight just exploded off me, you know, like the weight of bricks and the weight of worry and the weight of I'm not enough and the weight of, yeah, rehearsing my old sins again. Stuff like that can happen. Devil can lead us to tempt us, or we can do it, bad habits, and it just weighs you down. And I was in that space, I think, in some ways, like I'm not enough. And honestly, it was in that moment, and for days after that, it was like, man, did I miss the point? I am kind of on the hamster wheel, trying to just do everything right and to sort of get God's attention or whatever, to make it. And it's totally reversed. God's love is real, and it's total, and it's all out, and it's a free gift. And it's perfectly expressed and given to us in his Son. And it's out of that love, which is why we talked last week about abiding, where Jesus said, abide in me. Abide in me. What is it? And your life will bear good fruit. And what's the fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, this kind of character transformation, internal life, deepening of the virtues, deepening the awakening of the spiritual, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the unfolding of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that move us out into helping to, wanting to lend a hand and exercise whatever gifts God has given us to build up the body and love, because freedom is happening in us. All the insecurities, the fears, the judgments, the stuff that laziness, the indifference, or I'm not worthy stuff, all of that that's present, it's that receiving the love of God is what literally burns all that away. It's the fire of God's love that will burn it away. And what will replace it is the gift to be able to just accept the fact of the magnitude of your dignity, the quality and depth, and it's hard to put words on it, of what God is toward you, your Father, total love, radiant love. And he's saying, this is my heart towards you. And I'd say, like, I'm proud of you. I love you. And every little baby step we take toward responding to God means a lot to God and our brokenness. He loves the fact that we love him. That's the work of salvation. That's part of salvation and healing and transformation and becoming a new creation, learning how to love, learning how to receive that love. It all begins with God's love. And to be able to then see ourselves as creatures made by God, made in the image of God, being brought to new life in God, becoming children of God. And that, remember, I think there's a paragraph, one line in the catechism that says, you know, God's love is greater. It's even greater, more powerful, more accessible than the gaze of a mother for her little child, for a new baby. I mean, you think about that. I mean, I think about my daughter, Sarah. They got five little kids, and just seeing when the babies were new, even after all the ordeals she went through having the babies, just like there was just a radiance to her and a joy and her eyes fixed on the baby and just the love that's there. There's nothing quite like it on earth, isn't it? A love of mother to their child. But that's, as real as that is, it's kind of an analogy. It's a dimension of God's love. It's loving your neighbor, loving your own child, your own flesh and blood, and that's so natural for us. But it's not as great as the love of God and knowing the love of God. I mean, it all comes together. It's all in there. But God's gaze on us and God's love for us is infinitely greater than the love my daughter has for her children, that I have for my grandchildren and my own children. And the battle that we have as believers is to just keep going deeper into the knowledge of that love with the help of the Holy Spirit and that abiding that Jesus described. And again, that abiding was what we talked about it last week. It's, I know the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Jesus said he's coming to give me the Holy Spirit to reveal the Father, to manifest the Father. So I know it's real, it's true. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me the Father. Show me the Father's love. Show me more of you, Lord. I want to see what you see. I want to feel what you feel. I want to be everything that you've meant to be. I want this relationship to be everything you want it to become, Holy Spirit. And over time, that's the beginning of the abiding. Then take up God's word, which is a love letter, and read it. That word is living and active. Let it become living and active in your soul, in your spirit, to renew your mind. So you can acquire a fresh new spiritual way of thinking. It becomes the way you think about yourself, the way God thinks about you. That's awesome. That's freedom. That's where the saints got. And they could live through anything, any circumstance, because they knew they possessed the treasure. That's where we need to go. Let's do it. Holy Spirit, help us to do it today, to go deeper in transforming love. God bless, friends. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.